Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord that we can, you know, God, in the morning we went out with joy and we, you know, we are drawing water day by day to the wells of salvation. And we're able to shout, praise the Lord. If we're not able to stop the elect, we can't do it. The children of the Lord, we shall win the battle for the translation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are predestined to do that. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Yeah. So he was called us. Who chose us? Say, I have chosen you. We didn't choose him. He chose us before the world began. Lord, we thank you, Father, for making us to live at the closing of the age. Lord, oh Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. Glory be to your name, Lord. Help us, oh Lord God, to continue to persevere, Lord, oh Father, no giving up, but from strength to strength, day by day, in the name of the Lord, our joy being full. Lord, no matter what happens in this world, Lord, you know, you already know what it be. You have told us, you know, the end from the beginning. While the world goes to the beginning of sorrow, day by day, we are to lift up our heads, knowing truly that our redemption draws nigh. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your promise. You will come right on time. You'll never be 1 second late. Father, we thank you. As we preach tonight, Lord, we trust you, Lord, that you bless us. Father, we worship and adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Finally, we have come to the end of this this enemy of God and enemy of man. Went through all his, where he began from, how he fell like lightning. Went through his hierarchies, you know. Went through the US denomination of his hierarchy, demons, and so on. We spent so many weeks on that. So tonight, by God's grace, we just, by, you know, just conclude this thing. So, and our theme tonight in closing is the discerning of evil spirits, you know. So, today, they are so subtle, and the world doesn't even know that they are responsible for all the evil. Look at how many murders have been committed in this nation just in 1 week, you know. So, who is behind all these things? Spirit of devils, you know, and something like that, you know. And of course, in the spiritual world, religious world, manipulating so many, you know, that it's, you know, it's just heartbreaking. But the Lord says you do like this at the end of time. So that's why God is leading us to do this thing. We believe God in this revival that all these things that, you know, God is, you know, reminding us here, they are the use for it. Even your day to day activity, you never know. We believe in God, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See? Now, discerning of evil spirits. Two major questions come to mind regarding the activities of demons. One, how can we discern the presence or operation of evil spirits? And they are everywhere, really. Nobody will know that. They are coming in multitude from the pit, really, you know, at the end of time, even before their time, you know. So they are everywhere. All the chaos and things like that, you know. Number two, since evil spirits can and, you know, to some extent do mimic the operations of the Spirit of God, how can we distinguish their manifestation from those of the Spirit of God? So, well, these questions become very important or relevant when we consider the warning of the Scripture. The Lord knew all these things, the Bible has warned us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This was written probably like 95 AD, you know, I think that, you know, and look at where we are at. Little did they know, exactly the Bible, this particular scripture, there are some in the Bible who practice this kind of thing. The believers in Berea. Little did the believers in Berea know that someday their name will be in many nations of the world. When we first came here, where we were living, there was a Berean bookshop there, you know. So they never knew that all over the world that their name will be there, the Berean church and something like that, you know. But many bookshops were named after them, Berean bookshop. We had them here. I don't know if you see them here in Phoenix. Now, you don't have them. There are organizations who named themselves Bereans, you know. Why? What is so popular with these Bereans? It's so simple, you know. And we can see them in Acts 17. So, what was it about this Berean that gave them this worldwide identification. What is it? The reason is simple. They were reputable for being able to recognize the difference between truth and error. How did they do it? Simply by searching the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
When they see things, they don't just apostle to Paul. Even though it was a private day, the apostle, you see, I boast about my office, the apostle to the general. When he spoke, it didn't end there. Of course, preaching and bringing the gospel from the Old Testament, right? That's what he was doing, showing that this Jesus was the Christ. He's the Christ. So they had to go to the Old Testament themselves and go and see these things who are so, you know. Anyway, Acts 17, verse 11, towards the latter part of it. Why? You know, they received the word with all readiness of mind and they shared the scriptures. Look at that. Daily, whether these things were so, you know. So that's, you know, why they were so popular all over the world. So, and today, to anyone willing to take the time to learn what the Word of God has to say about this matter of discerning of false and true spirits, need not be confused about anything. All they have to do is this. For the scriptures have now given us a number of methods by which the test can be made. And tonight, we're going to talk about four major ways the Bible tells us. Number one, I summarize first, then we go into deep. Number one, do this as spirit. Does he manipulate, contradict the word of God? That's one thing. Number two, did that spirit deny the deity of Jesus Christ? Number three, what kind of fruit, you know, is the people who are possessed by this spirit, what kind of fruit are they bearing? And number four, we talk about one of the gifts of the spirit, the discerning of spirits. So these are the four outlines that I'm going to talk about. So I tell them, I will just delve into them by God's grace. Number one, if we apply these principles, you know, very carefully and prayerfully, it is inconceivable then that a believer could be led away by any of Satan's delusions, however subtle it may be, you know. And for all practical purposes, one needs nothing more than these things I've highlighted here, these three major ones plus the gift of the Spirit, you know, to discern between the true and the false. Now, number one, I go on the number one. Watch out if the Spirit denies any of the Word of God. So let's dig down to that. An example happened very early in the Bible, you know, and some of that we know in the book of Genesis, in the tragic story of Eve in the Garden of Eden. As it's well known, we all know that Eve foolishly allowed herself to be deceived by Satan, who had embodied himself in the serpent, of which we talked so much before. Now, had she realized that this was her arch enemy, you know, who was seeking her ruin, she would probably have fled from him in terror. As it was, she yielded to the devil's subtle suggestion, later to regret, the mistake, you know, and to pay for it, and at a cost that staggered the imagination. Look at the whole world, but thank God the Redeemer did come, you know, and to redeem us back. So what was it that Eve had neglected to do? What was her error, which might have saved her from such a tragic error? What could she have done? Simple. For her. Number one, her first mistake was deliberately wandering to the vicinity where she became a victim of temptation. See? Wonder I went to the place where she could be tempted, you know? That's her first error, you know? Now the question is, did she realize what she was probably doing at that time, doing wrong? Of course she did. How do we know that? As evidence by the fact that she made the visit without the knowledge of her husband. You know what she was doing? Where she wandered away? To the place of temptation. So, the generation have not learned from her really, you know, even in Christendom. So today, multitudes are like Eve, in that they deliberately go where temptation is, you know. One man of God said, when I see the truck of sin coming towards me, I just take off and just, you know, I just get out of its way. Let me go and crash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, but today, many people deliberately go to where the temptation is, you know. They play with fire, you know. Many people do that. with the naive idea that they will not be burned. Not so. They insist on dabbling in all sorts of black arts, even in so-called churches, you know, of course, you know, and mysticism. Thus, it is not surprising that many of them get enmeshed in their toys. So, that's from the Garden of Eden, beginning of the early story of man, we saw that in India. So, Eve's greatest mistake was allowing doubt to enter her heart concerning the veracity of God's word, meaning the integrity of God's word. That was the greatest error, you know. He allowed that doubt to come, you know, concerning God's word. The Lord had told them, in the day ye eat thereof, the Lord said, ye shall surely die. Rather than called God a liar outright, here is what Lucifer normally do, you know, or does, you know, or his demons and so on. They won't really call God a liar outright. It's a subtle thing, right? Subtle things, right? Rather, the serpent raised the question. Yea, has God said manipulation? Then eventually, he read that and said, you shall not surely die. He now brings out the real life, you know. So we just go it, right? Gently, subtly, and so on, you know. And that's what, how he does. And the same thing he does today. One would think that this insidious suggestion would have been enough to cause Eve to flee from her enemy. So the devil is not only a liar by nature, but he will use his subtlety to cast doubt on the word of God. That is the trick he uses all the time. Even when he tempted the Lord Jesus, he tried to manipulate it. Go to Psalm 91, he will manipulate it and so on, but I don't think you know what he was talking to, you know. He is talking to the word himself, the one who gave Moses Genesis, you know. The one he was talking to, you know. So we see right there. So anyway, yet, more often than not, many people, like Eve, have allowed themselves to be led on into serious delusion because they temporize with the devil's suggestions rather than hold to the word of God. That's the trick that Satan uses all the time. He has no old tricks, the same old tricks, you know, and so on that, you know. Instances abound today where Christians, even ministers, have allowed themselves to be led astray by seducing spirits, usually by the trickery or saying by say that they know by false prophecy. How many people, you know? So Christians, even ministers, led astray, usually by means of a false prophecy. And the reason is clear why, you know, that is an easy task for the devil use. These people have neglected the scripture, the Bible text, you know, of a true prophet, as the Bible gave it to us. You see, Bible gave us highlights, you know, they neglect. There is one in Deuteronomy 18:21, you know, I want to read that. See? And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But that prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. How the Bible says. You know. But today, usually today, even when some people have found out that whatever so-called prophecy said did not come to pass, they still continue to follow the same error and to the same leader. It happened. No matter how many times. I'm sorry? Can you imagine? Compared to the Bereans, you know, people they over and over, this person, so-called leader and prophet, has spoken that thing as it's wrong, never came to pass. They still will continue to follow. What kind of thing is that, you know? So,
delusion.
Yeah, delusion, you see? Subtlety of the devil and demon power and things like that, you know? So, a seducing spirit can usually be detected, you know? Because its nature is to lie, that's it, and to make statements in direct contradiction to the word of God. If one, however, has allowed himself to come strongly under the influence of a lying spirit, he is in grave danger of rationalizing the lies instead of running to the word of God, you know. how it happened most of the time. People to be there to first of all leave the word of God first, and then fall for this lie. That's where all the ruinous thing we see today, the religious world, is taking place, you know. So it is not uncommon that apparently good professing Christians will be led astray. It had happened, it's still happening. They are told by these spirits that God has honored them by giving them a new revelation. What we call it, you know, quote unquote, new revelation, you know. And it happens all the time. And what is it? If they choose to believe the seducing spirit rather than the word of God, their usefulness as a Christian is ended or at least diminished. See? So, oh, I got a new revelation. Usually, God has given us those kinds of revelation in the Bible. We don't even remember them all, you know, and they will be looking for a new revelation where they have not even understood what God has said already. Look at the pattern of the prophets in the Bible. Daniel being a prophet himself and so on, but with great humility. You have to look at the writing of Jeremiah, so you will know what God has said before, you know. Even the Lord of glory himself, the God of the prophets, who gave these prophecies to the prophets, he himself began to draw from there what he gave there when he was ministering here, you know. Before you look for a new revelation, see what God has said before. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That will guide away from error, you know. So, and you know, God's word never gets old. If it does say the law, it was true then, it's true today, it will be true throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's where many error come by, looking for quote unquote new revelation. So it got many people into trouble. So where? So if they choose to believe the seducing spirit, like where that's what I said that already. Number two, that's one thing, you know. Number two. So number one, what I said was that they have to contradict the word of God or deny the word of God. Number two, see if the spirit confesses that Christ is come in the flesh or not. That's another test. This test is perhaps not so much a direct test of an evil spirit, but of a prophet or a teacher influenced by a seducing spirit who may be introducing some new doctrine or cause along the same line. Is that how it happens? So the spirit behind this false religion will usually cause the human leader or the prophet or whatever to either contradict or distort the truth of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will do that, you know. In other words, the teaching will generally deny or in some way throw doubt upon the virgin birth of Christ. And the fact that Christ is indeed the Son of God. And we have an historic one here. We all know that religion called Mohammedanism, right? In Mohammedanism, they concede that Jesus was a prophet. Too far ago, right? But only in the sense that Muhammad was also a prophet. That's how fast that we tried, you know. There are many other popular cults in the world which are in some way or another fall into the category referred to in the first chapter of John that I read before. That's 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. You know, where I say, beloved, believe not, but I will read more verses in there. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2 says, hereby know we, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come. And even now, in 93, 94 AD, how much more now, already in the world. So invariably, what happens? These teachings strike at the most vital point of Christendom, of the gospel. Deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other examples. Let me give you one or two more examples. That you may know or may not know, you know. Let's see. There is this one movement called the Unitarianism. If you know the scripture, you think, here's what they are saying. They are saying that they reject the doctrine of the Trinity. You will think, maybe they are one of us. They have a different way of their own interpretation of not accepting Trinity, you know. So what is their own? So upon that, so they typically believe that God is one being, God a father or mother. They would say God is a woman. As far as this is there, out there, that's what they believe. Is God a father or mother, and that Jesus to them was a simple, you know, simply a man, not an incarnate deity. And you see, when you have utilitarianism, you think that, oh, maybe they believe in one God. Yeah, it's in a different way, you know. They don't think that, they don't believe the Lord Jesus is the Almighty God. You know, they think, they don't believe that the incarnate one. You see? So it's that idea, Unitarianism movement. Another one, Universalism. They believe in the salvation of all souls. All souls will be saved. That's what they think. And here's what they say. They insist that punishment in the afterlife was for a limited period, during which the soul was purified and prepared for eternity in the presence of God. No matter what they have done, whether they receive Christ here or not. So even maybe the devil himself. So the punishment will be just for a while, then they will be purified and they will be before God. See? Universalism. Now, the acid test of all doctrine is whether that doctrine accepts the fundamental truth that Jesus is the Christ. You know, that is the acid test, and that one can really count on. Many cults fail this test, teaching that Jesus of Nazareth came in the flesh. So far they go, but they do not believe that he was the Christ. You know, so all teachers that are of God, we, without equivocation, make the same type of Peter's confession. When the Lord even asked, the thing I've been going on, when the Lord was there, who the men say I am? You know, the Lord even asked that question, who the men people say I am? You know, where the disciples say, some say you are a liar, the prophet, or some other prophet, and so on. But you, my disciple, who do you say that I am? That's in Matthew, about the 16th chapter here. Yes, what he asked Peter, verse 15. So when he asked Peter, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So every true minister will believe that, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And to the Jew, you know, that means he is the living God, you know. So that's what he is. Another false teaching stated that Jesus was only was a created being. You know that what he said? And like any other man, and it's out there. This court said that because Jesus faithfully obeyed the commandments of God, he became the anointed one of God. And in that sense only, was he the Son of God? But that is even a subtle lie in its way. That's not the whole story. Christ is not a created being, but the eternal Son of God, who through the incarnation became also the Son of Man. He is the Creator. I always like Colossians 1:16, wrap it up for us, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:16. For by him, meaning the Lord Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, all things were created by him and for him. Wrap it up in just one sentence. There are so many Bible verses that are just in one verse, you can see the whole picture. Even Isaiah prophecy 9:6 told us that, you know who he is, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The God shall be upon his shoulder. And so he is the everlasting Father. You know, everything in just one sentence, that, you know, the Holy Ghost will do that kind of thing and so all over the Bible. As we can see, the spirit behind all these and scores of other such religion is to deny in some way the deity and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the takeaway from what I'm saying in the past 5 minutes is this. This cause is that whenever doubt is expressed concerning this fundamental cornerstone of the gospel, one may be certain that seducing spirits are behind it. Period. You know, That's what it is, you know. Now, let's go to another, number three now. We talk about the either contradict or deny God's word. They will deny the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any kind of people that did that, it's a deal. That's how we know them. Another one is this. Examine the kind of fruit whosoever is working under this influence of this spirit. What kind of fruit do they produce? That's another way to really test, you know. Is the power... Now, people think that just people see miracles and so on. That is, everything is of God. Not really. So, the question is the power to perform miracles an infallible test of a man standing with God? Or another question is this. Is the fact that somebody speaks with tongues of men and angel, he put that he has the true spirit of God? So, and if that person, whosoever, has a genuine gift of prophecy, is that of in of itself a proof that he is right with God? We have seen it all over the, I mean, all over the decades. That is not really true, you know. So, so even if he has formed the anointed of God, does that make it certain that this person now has the spirit of Christ? Does he stay in the anointing of the law, or you know, whatever? The scripture has something to say about this. The Almighty God wrote a whole chapter, maybe three chapters, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13. Can't read all of it. Let me read the first few verses to disprove all these things. You know, we see many other religious people don't even know Jesus Christ, and they will spend all their service in tongue speaking. You know, some of them will go into marathon. They will go to 5 days of speaking. They will wear in the spirit world. I've seen them before. You know, even from the early Christians, you know. Anyway, so though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, see, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. The next verse says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and to be burned, I have not charity, it profited me nothing. So what are we saying? Ordinarily, we are concluding this: divine gifts may be taken at the signs of a man of God. That's in ordinary, right? But they are not infallible signs, because unfortunately the person involved is still a free moral agent, you know. He's still a free moral agent, you know, even when he had this gift and things like that, you know. He may yield to self-exaltation down the road. And the rapport told us in one place, and that person they transformed into a false apostle. It happened all the time, you know. Or the love of money can get involved. He had a gift, you know, initially and so, but the love of money may cause him to err, as did Judas. I'm going to mention a couple of them in the Bible. Judas, one of the 12, who performed miracles. Ah, he went with them 2 by 2 and so, you know, he went with them to perform miracles and so. But who at last, in the end, became a traitor and betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. So we saw that in Judah, you know, not only that, even in the Old Testament, talking that even a gifted person, unless he that endured to the end, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even Samson was anointed of God, right? We know that. But because he yielded to the fleshly lust, he at length was shorn off his power and fell into the toils of the enemy. That's in Judges 16, without me going to read that, it has a popular story. And how about another one? Balaam spoke some of the most beautiful prophecies in the Bible, see, concerning the Lord Jesus. And I cannot be weary of reading that verse in Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, he wrote, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and the scepter shall arise out of Israel. I shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. But what happened to him down the road? But because of his love for money, here we go again, for money, he commercialized his gift and in the end died under the judgment of God. Let's see his end in Joshua 13:22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. Wow, from a prophet to a soothsayer. What a terrible and catastrophic end. Did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them? So, all these examples and so on. So, they may have the gift of prophecy and all this. That's what the Bible is saying. You know, that's not the final conclusion. You know, so. But, you know, so the Lord gave us a grief warning concerning these things in Matthew 7:22-23. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, in thy name, and in thy name have cast out even devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what then? As I said, what then is the true test of the prophet of God? We mentioned one before in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18. The Lord himself gave us, in the same chapter that I read now, Matthew 7, the 19th and 20th verses, like what the Lord said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now look at verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. See, that's what we are talking about here. One of the signs to know whether the one spirit that you know, a minister or whatever, whatever spirit is using him. So, how should we judge a prophet who puts forth? So, they can be so close. No wonder. If it were possible to deceive the very elect, right? So, the Bible says in one scripture right there. How should we then judge a prophet who puts forth claims to be sent of God and who backs his claims with a sign? See? How do we judge it? Or how can we distinguish between that which is of God and that which is of the devil when the signs appear to be similar? How do we, you know, how do we judge? So it is to be remembered back in the Bible days, in Egypt, what I'm saying now, the magicians, as well as Moses and Aaron, had power to turn their rods into serpents. See, they look similar, right? No, they're not the same thing, either. They look similar, see? And what happened in India? Number one, does that prophet, how do we judge now? We have to look at certain things to distinguish the difference. Does that prophet, you know, who puts forth his claims, you know, to be a prophet or whatever, does he possess, like Moses did, the same spirit of humility? Usually if they're not operating under the spirit of God, they will never be humble. See? That's one sign, you know. We are told of Moses in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That once I've seen them, even our time, where we have sat down and learned under them, how humble they were. Praise the Lord. We see it all the time, you know. And they have compassion, you know. When they pray for the sick, you know how they pray, you know. They put their heart to it, you know. So they don't boast of anything, but they boast in the law. That's how we know. Number two, is the person who doing these things for people, you know, and so on, is that person an intercessor like Moses was? Moses was willing to give his very life for the salvation of the people he was ministering to. That's how a true minister does things. one said in one place, he said, you know, it is in every prophet to get it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith in every person. They will do everything, even overwork themselves many times, you know, just to get it done for the glory of God. So, rather, does this person go abroad as Pharaoh did, as Pharaoh's servant, fighting and beating the people of God? And you always do that, you know, if they are not the wrong spirit, you always do that, you know. Certainly, if a man can show that his fruits are the fruit of the Spirit, we may then judge the signs whatever they are has been of God. If they follow this thing and so on. If they are not of God, they will never be humble. See? You know, because they are seeking their own gain. You know, they will do anything just for themselves, not for the people and so on. So what kind of food they are, we tell us. On the other hand, if that person seeks his own self aggrandizement, as did Pharaoh, or he plays with sorcery, as did the magicians in Egypt, he must be counted on the side of Seder. So it is to be noted that while Aaron's, now here's another thing we can disagree, the so-called miracle is, I call it preternatural. I don't normally call Satan's thing supernatural. I call it preternatural. Praise the Lord. So let's see what I'm talking about here. It is to be noted that while Aaron's rod remained, the serpents of the magicians were swallowed up. And that's what happened in spiritualism. Spirits, on occasion, are able to cause solid objects to materialize. But it won't be permanent. It will not be permanent, you know. So, this is not the power of God, but of sorcery. Sorcery often is able to perform a materialization, but which has no permanent existence in the natural world. Even when I was young in Nigeria, these people will gather people together, magicians, they will say, oh, bring your money, I will double it for you, and so on. And they can seem to, you know, they produce some money. That money it cannot stay, you know. And it cannot stay.
I'm sorry.
Even there's such a thing in the Bible too. So you see, sorcery is often able to perform a materialization, but which has no permanent existence in the natural world. Flying saucers is an example of that, you know. In fact, they are coming again. Since the pandemic now, there have been many, many sightings of flying saucers in the New York area, especially, you know. There were many of them in the early 70s, but even now, there are even many of them in the past 1 year, what reading in the magazine and so on, lately and so on that, you know. So flying saucers, which appear and disappear, fall into this category. Now, let us see the real miracles of God. Like when Elijah produced oil, right, and meal, they lasted all during the famine to sustain the widow's family. We know that 1 Kings 17. Even Elisha himself brought forth oil also. It remained to pay the debt of the widow, right? So God's miracle, when they are created, they are substantiated, it remains. They don't just disappear, you know. So like sorcery things, do and something like that, you know. But and even the Lord himself, when he multiplied the loaves of fishes, one time, five loaves and two fishes, so 12 baskets were left, right? So it was concrete. People ate thousands, 5,000, not counting men and women, they ate, and there are 12 baskets left at one time, you know? And so it remained. You can see it. Second time, 4,000 people were fed, and 7 baskets were gathered. It stayed, you know? So that's true miracles of the Lord. So the magicians of Pharaoh made serpents, but they vanished away before the power of God, you know? Spiritualism and religious sorcery may produce materialization, but such of them, they will vanish. And this is the mark of sorcery. So God's people should be aware of these things. Last one, I want to talk to about three of them now. Talk about the sign, how to discern evil spirits and things like that, you know. Do they contradict or deny God's word? Do they deny the deity of Jesus Christ? What kind of fruit do they bear, you know? Now, lastly, all those three ones, any Christian can, you know, using the word of God, I can get used to that, you know. This one I want to talk about now is the gift of the discerning of spirit. Not all Christians have that gift, you know, but some are gifted in the church to have it. So, there is another way that some believers who have been given a special ministry that brings them frequently in contact with evil spirits, to employ this gift. Such gifted believers are often placed in situations in which it may be necessary to identify the presence of demons at once, you know, especially when many demons are involved. So, for those with such ministry, God has provided a special gift called the discerning of spirit. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Without reading all of the verses, I read phrases in 7, verse 8 and 10. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. Verse 8 says, for one is given by the Spirit, and John to verse 10, and to another, discerning of spirit. So the gift of discerning of spirit is of wider scope than we think generally, you know. Why? There are both good spirit and evil spirit. Not only discerning of evil spirit, it's for both of them, you know. So there are evil spirits, so there are also good spirits. Sometimes God permits his people to discern and see good spirits. He does. Examples abound. Elisha prayed for his servant that he might be able to see the projecting army of angels. And immediately his eyes were opened. 1 Kings 6, 17, without me going to read it. So the discerning of spirits also include the discerning of human spirits. You can be evil spirit, good spirit, and even human spirit. It includes that one. It's a wider scope, really. About that I said it. Sometimes it is important to know whether a false human spirit is operating, because it happens too. For example, Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria in Acts 8, right? And preach the gospel to them. There was a man, sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer, right? Even baptized him in water, right? Not until Barapita came. So they bring Barapita and the John from Jerusalem to come and pray for the believer to receive the Holy Ghost. Then Simon now manifests himself. Philip didn't have that gift, right? No, he baptized him, you know. So you know the story. But when Peter came, now this man was asking, I want to give money that he also can lay hand on people, they can receive the Holy Ghost. That was his human error and so on, human spirit. So, but when Peter came, he discerned that Simon was a sorcerer and exposed him at once. That's in Acts 8 or 9 to 23 verses and so on, right? You know. So, human spirit also discerned by the Holy Spirit, you know. So, the Lord knew that Judas was a hypocrite. He did. Although the later cleverly hid his real character from the rest of the apostles until the end, you know. So we can see human. So this discerning of spirit can discern human spirit to not only good angels and demons of human spirit. Another one before I finish here tonight, Gehazi, that's the servant of Elisha, right? Thought he had deceived Elisha concerning the talent of silver and the change of clothes of raiment. But Elijah knew all that his first servant had done. 2 Kings 5. You know how he ran after Nehemiah, you know, and go and do all those things? You know, as soon as he was coming, Elijah told him all that he had done, you know. And the leprosy of Nehemiah came upon him. You know that. See? Okay, so in finishing up that tonight, so you see, the discerning of spirits and so on can find also human spirit. The gift of discerning of spirits, however, it's particularly designed, really, to detect the presence of demons, you know. On occasions, this spirit will fail or pretend to be the spirit of God and thereby escape detection. It happens all the time. That's why, you know, all the chaos we see, even the meteor cycle will happen. A particular trick, which demons sometimes use, is illustrated in the case of the soothsaying girl in Acts, the 16th chapter. We all know that story.
Yes.
You know, praise God. So many, many days, you know, this guy will go after, you know, after Brother Paul and so on, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. We show us the way of salvation. Acts 16, 17, you know. So those who are around Brother Paul, perhaps, you know, suppose that the guy had the spirit of God, you know. And that what she was saying was a genuine testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Holy Ghost moved, that discerning spirit moved from Brother Paul, he had to discern it and cut that demon out. He couldn't do it anymore, he couldn't do divine anymore, you know. That caused Brother Paul a lot of headache and trouble in that chapter. Praise the Lord. So you see now, that is the gift of discerning of spirit. And so, why not every one of us is given the gift of discerning of spirit? Nevertheless, God has provided abundant means so that no one, being a Christian, need be deceived or deluded by seducing spirits. Unfortunately, though, there are many people this day who fail to heed the scripture warnings and use the test of truth and error that God has given. You have to be very careful and apply the scripture to every situation. Don't take anything by face value, really, in this day. You know, consequently, not a few are enslaved by these false spirits, which are being increasingly manifest in these last days. And that is in itself, my last scripture here tonight, that is even a prophecy that this thing will multiply at the end of the age. Last scripture here as I close is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I was Christian before, you know. I imagine it's a sorry case. From the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. So, brethren, God has given us His word. We thank God for His mercy and His grace. This is a sorrowful thing. Much more so when believers become victims of this kind of thing, despite all the warning that God has given us and the word of God. So, let us always pray. No wonder I say we should pray and make supplication for all sins. In Ephesians 6, praise the Lord. Because of this kind of error that God can find himself in. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Your word is so wonderful, Lord. You gave us the roadmap, what to expect in this world, Lord. How to handle every situation. Lord, Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Tonight, all that we are saying tonight, Lord, we are praying for Christendom in particular. Any of your people who might be wandered into these things, Lord, oh God, unknowingly by ignorance, by lack of teaching, you know, who have been deceived by demons, you know, or in the name of a minister, you know, and almost ruin many people's lives. So we pray for such tonight, Lord, oh God, Lord, that deliverance will come, Lord, to them, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the many parts of your people, Lord, that the Bereans, Lord, oh Father, we will learn, know, and that they have been warned to try every spirit, you know, as if they be of God. So, Lord, let the church eyes open, because it gets worse and worse, like we just read now, near the coming of the Lord, near the coming and the manifestation of the Antichrist. And we are in that era right now. So, thank you for your word tonight. Father, we pray that as we look for the translation of the Lord, that even we ourselves, by the grace of God, use us to even deliver many out of these snares in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in doing this ourselves, Lord God, we wash and pray. Lord, even when we think we stand, so we wash and pray, Lord, oh God, that we don't fall into this kind of things in any form or shape. We thank you because you have blessed us already. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Our brother Charles tonight will be helping us with the prayer. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, before we go to the prayer session,
yes.
It's like I just want us to narrate this one.
Okay.
And I read during the week.
Yes.
Where we can place that one in line with this teaching.
Yes.
Okay. They said most of us know this man, the hand.
Who?
The
hand. Okay, yes.
Yes,
pardon. Oh, lately, it happened this year or last year when the pardon.
Yes, was it last year? Mm-hmm. But very recent, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
This year. February. Yeah, February last year. Okay, yeah. So, they said at the beginning of this ministry that the Lord really directed him to go to South Africa.
Mm.
So he was following that lady.
Mm.
So when he got there,
mm.
he found somebody, purportedly to be a Christian,
mm.
who was working with him. The name of that one is Richard.
Mm.